Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished professional from the USA, currently speaking to us from Toronto, Canada, Mr. Brian G. Basha. Brian, welcome to the show.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Brian is the founder of Evolution Evolution. So, Brian, let's start by asking you a question. Tell me about your amazing journey from being a priest to an executive to an entrepreneur.
Holy smokes. Well, I'll make it as tight as I can here. But yes, I was a Catholic priest for 8 years and eight very happy years.
Yeah.
In the United States, 4 years in a big parish, and then 4 years I served as the private secretary, or that would mean like chief of staff to a cardinal from the Vatican. And then I freely made the decision that I felt my heart, my life wanted to go in a new direction. And so I freely resigned. And I went on to then, I knew I wanted to live in New York City. So that was where I went. And I was very fortunate. I landed a great job there in the world of philanthropy, starting as a director with the American Cancer Society and then becoming executive director at NYU Medical. Mm-hmm. And the reason for the move to Toronto was originally because I met a Canadian, but I also landed a wonderful opportunity to make the move as well. And I continued as an executive, then became a partner in a company. Mm-hmm. And then many people have always said to me, you know, Brian, you should have your own company. You should do your own thing. And there was a lot of hesitation. There was always an excuse. Well, next year, when I have this lined up, when I have that. Mm-hmm. But the stars aligned and sometimes things just happen with ease. Mm-hmm. And in 2019, I decided to go out on my own and I founded Evolution Evolution. Mm-hmm. And who knew a couple months later that probably the world's greatest evolution was going to happen with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that's where all my work really took off. And that's where I spend my time now. It's been 3 years and it unites it all together, kind of my personal gifts mm-hmm. and how I work with others.
Amazing, amazing. You know, you also believe that asking the question, what do I desire, will lead us to embrace what is in our heart and evolve us forward. Help me understand this and give me an example.
Of course. So, you know, in our hearts, every single human being, there are desires that speak to us to help us know where we want to be, how we want to live. So when I was in the seminary, actually, my life was very scheduled, as you can imagine. I know with a lot of training, but their Saturdays were kind of a free day. Mm-hmm. And I remember one day standing in the kitchen on a Saturday morning, there was this bagel machine that you had to put the bagel in to get toasted. And it was the slowest machine ever created on the planet. Mm-hmm. So by the time it finally fell out, it wasn't even toasted. You had to put it in a second time. So you had a lot of waiting time. And I remember there standing there one time waiting for the bagel. And I simply said to myself, what do I desire to do today? Mm. And it was a simple question. Mm. And out of that is what kind of came to me of like, you know, something I wanted to do, of, you know, a place I wanted to go. And I really believe that question has been the compass for all the major life decisions that I've ever made. And when you ask the question, what do you desire, especially if you're in a job you want to transfer or relationship, it will always lead you with peace to look at something new. And it doesn't mean you always know all the outcome. It doesn't mean you have all the things put together. Mm-hmm. But there is a sense there of an inclination, a feeling of, well, I want to take this step. I want to be curious about looking at this. Mm. And when you ask that question personally and professionally, it opens up from the heart versus being stuck in a very logical ego mind.
Correct.
And it opens us.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I must remember this phrase, what do I desire? Maybe you should protected for a future book with this title, you know. So,
well, I think so. I think we're on it because that is already there. That's something I speak a lot about.
Wonderful. And, you know, this is actually coming to you from someone who's written 8 books. So I said, you know, what a great title this would be. But Brian, let's talk
about... Don't you steal it. Don't you steal it.
No, not at all. No question. But Brian, let's talk about evolution. First, tell me, you know, why this unique double evolution? And then everything is in lowercase. What is the logic behind this?
Yeah. So I'll begin first of all with the name evolution. It is named, someone asked me once, did you name it twice on purpose? I'm like, well, of course I did. Mm-hmm. You know, evolution is, there's always a natural evolution of all of humanity. So that first evolution is a nod to the greater consciousness of the entire evolution taking place. Mm-hmm. But the second evolution is the evolution we own of who we are as individuals. Mm-hmm. And we have the choice, the desire of how we want to evolve, mm-hmm. how we want to be, how we want to love, how we want to bring our joy and our gifts into the world. And that's where I spend my time in the part of that larger consciousness. Mm-hmm. In terms of all being in lowercase, I just thought it looked cool. It was simply just a design, simply a design and marketing aspect.
Okay, wonderful. Because, you know, I was looking at it and when I was typing it in, it was auto-correcting it and making it a capital E every time. So I had to make sure that I corrected it for this particular note. But tell me about what are you doing at Evolution?
Sure. So Evolution was launched on November 11th, 11/11/2019. Mm-hmm. And it's been 3 years and it's been an evolution. And so where I'm at now and what is evolving is a very beautiful place. Mm-hmm. I originally started out, first of all, with a lot of one-on-one coaching for executives. That is an area that I've spent a tremendous amount of my time as an executive and working with executives and developing programs. And I still do that. Mm-hmm. And what I really enjoy are working with those who are in any type of leadership role, not just C-suite, but those who want to grow in their leadership and whatever that industry is. I'm industry agnostic, mm-hmm. Because I feel the common denominators are all the same in mm-hmm. any aspect. Mm-hmm. And I help individuals that sometimes are new in their leadership, people that are looking to make career change, especially a conscious career change, people that are having to really want to move forward into a new aspect and living their mission mm-hmm. based on what they desire. And so I develop programs to do that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's been a lot of speaking. That's something I really enjoy. Today, I'm speaking to a company all across North America to their executive team.
Wow.
As well, delivering keynotes. And that's what I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. But where Evolution is going now is there are going to be more retreats. That is something that I love to do. And so it will be retreats in person, online, mm-hmm. and really helping people to go inward in their evolution, to be aligned with their love, to be aligned with their desire, to bring that personally and professionally with greater joy into the world.
Amazing. And for my viewers and listeners, can you just take us through what a retreat looks like? I mean, what are the mm-hmm. topics you cover in a retreat?
Sure. So first of all, in terms of a retreat, it always begins with intention. Mm-hmm. It always begins with a sense of, you know, where are you? What is it something that you might want to have clarity on? You know, maybe you're in a moment that you're in a job and you're just like, oh my gosh, I've been very successful. This has been really good, but I'm feeling there's something else I want to do, but I feel blocked. Mm. So it's coming in with an intention right away of, is it something you want to have clarity on? Is it something to, you know, bring greater ease into your life? And with the retreats, you know, it really is always focused on bringing them through a way to connect, first of all, inwardly, mm. also connect with their body mm. as well. You know, there's a wonderful book called The Body Keeps the Score. And, you know, what I mean by that is, mm. you know, many times people will say, I feel so tense. I have such back pain. Well, that can be caused from stress. Mm. That can be caused from fear, anxiety. And so we start to open that up a little bit through breathing exercises. I also bring other people in that kind of lead through that. Mm-hmm. And we bring them on an evolution of an experience to tap inwardly to their spirit, their soul, and their body, to unpack and see what is there without always moving into action, but really looking at that. And the biggest piece is that my retreats are different, is that there is follow-up after. Because when you leave a retreat, you sometimes leave feeling, oh, this is amazing, I feel so uplifted, this is great. But it's the follow-up and the integration after the retreat that is most important. And that's where we have some online one-on-one, also some group aspect to help integrate what people are experiencing.
Amazing, amazing. So Brian, now let's talk a little bit about coaching. Let me start by asking you, how has your background, you know, as a priest, as a professional, and then now as an entrepreneur, supported your own coaching philosophy? What has been, you know, how has it influenced your style and your values?
I would say, first of all, I struggled for anyone listening. I still struggle with the name coaching. I really do. That name just never resonated for me. I think it's because it goes back to high school thinking of coaches, you know, like football coaches and things. But it is what it is. And for me, I really see myself as a teacher and a guide. And I would say having been a priest and then an executive has served me quite well. And I think that's one of the reasons why so many executives and leaders have hired me, because I have the expertise of knowing what it takes to be a leader, to run an organization, a company, team management, et cetera. But I also bring this sense of connecting as a person. And I think that is really at the heart. And what I always share with individuals is there's a reason why you are in the role you're in. And it's not just your title. There's a deeper mission that you also bring within that.
Correct.
And I think I'm able to help people connect on that. In addition, I also feel my practice is also very intuitive. You know, I really connect with the individual and intuitively are able to tap into where they're at, how are they moving forward. And the one-on-one is also very bespoke, that it's not a cookie cutter. Session three, we do this. Session four, we do that. It is very bespoke for each person. And that is really something that I offer that is totally different than anyone else.
And did the first 8 years of your life add any kind of specific value in terms of being able to empathize with your coaches or in any other form of a relationship that you developed?
In terms of when I was a priest, you mean? Yes. Is that what you refer to? Yeah. So, you know, when I was in the seminary, it's a very rigorous process of, you know, 5 years of academic and formation. And we did have a, you know, counseling whole program we had to go through. And that became, I have to remember, that was extremely natural. I remember when I was doing the course, it was one whole year on counseling. We had to do these videos. It was quite interesting. We had to ask another student to come in as kind of someone who was a, you know, someone to meet with us. And we didn't, and they had to have a problem. We didn't know what it was. And they were going to film us. And I remember this individual coming in and I went through it. And the professor kept my video for many years to show it to other students. And it was something that was very natural for me. It was something that I found listening, asking the right questions, and then doing that as a priest was very natural. I always felt whenever I worked with individuals that came to see me, I was always able to not just see the issue, but to get to the next level with ease and to move things forward. And I feel that gave me a tremendous foundation for the work I do now with so many others.
Amazing. Thank you. My next question to you is that, you know, all of us have people who influence us in our lives, and we take those learnings from the people who influence us into our relationships as we move forward. And as a coach, you know, I'm also a coach, we tend to articulate a lot of stuff that we have learned from the people who have influenced us. My question to you is, Brian, how have you been shaped by the people in your life and how are they influencing you as a coach?
I love that question. That's a beautiful question. So, you know, first of all, I would begin with, you know, my dad, you know, who passed away like 15 years ago, but my dad was a very successful businessman. And, but he was also someone that one of the lessons I learned is that he treated everyone the same.
Correct.
And which is something I look back now and I see it as such value, although he was, you know, very successful and well-connected, he treated everyone equal. And that is something that has influenced me, that no matter who I work with, everyone is treated equal. And, you know, to always, one of the lessons he also taught was everyone has a story to why they're acting or, you know, presenting themselves in a certain way. And I think that is something that is very helpful, because, you know, it's very easy as humans, it doesn't matter how much meditation we do and different things, we're still always human, growing day to day. And sometimes we can slip into a judgment. And, you know, when someone comes to speak and what they're doing, it, we catch ourselves faster because we're more aligned, but it helps us to be more open to where someone is at and to realize their story. And that has influenced me in a beautiful way to be more open, to be calm, to be receptive, and also to realize that I'm not there to fix everything, that I'm there to be a light, like a lighthouse, and to help guide. And that's really one of the greatest gifts that my father gave me.
Amazing, amazing. You know, one of, when I finish my, this one book, I've already got the title of my next one. So I promise I won't take your book, but that is actually Lessons from a Father, because I had a very, very strong bond with my own father. And maybe I'll reach out to you and ask you to give me thoughts about your father. So, you know, what an amazing gift we have if we have a strong bond with our father, you know. But moving on, Brian, you live in a very, very multicultural community, country, whether it's the US or Canada. And culture impacts how we interact with a lot of people. I want to ask you, as a coach, how does culture impact your coaching?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things, you know, I'm American, grew up in Boston, spent my first 40 years, I'm 51, first 40 years in the United States. But I also was very fortunate ever since I was a young child to travel extensively globally.
Correct.
Living overseas, studying, working overseas, extensive personal travel, which I love. And I always remember people would say to me, Brian, you're the most un-American American I've ever met. And, you know, I take that as a compliment, because, you know, so many Americans can be very focused on just the United States, or they haven't traveled as much. Many have, but there's a large that haven't. And I've always been a more global thinker and connecting with more diversity. And definitely living in Toronto, which is very multicultural, like any major metropolitan city in the world is. And for me, it's a sense of realizing that cultures are not right or wrong. That was my learning, especially coming from the States, even coming here. Sometimes you think this is the only way it's supposed to be done. This is the only way you're supposed to lead certain things, and they don't know what they're doing, or this is ridiculous. But it really is a sense, when you are open, that it doesn't mean one is right or one is wrong. You can both learn. And that's how I also, when I work internationally with clients as well, that the way they may present something, it may be different than the way I think of it, but it's just because the cultural context and being open to that. And it doesn't mean it's right or wrong, or you have to change everything. You may have to adapt. And I think that's the biggest piece.
Wonderful. Thank you for a great response. Brian, I have time for two more questions.
Please.
My next question is about the millennials and the Gen Zs. I'm from the boomers generation. And I've often said that the millennials and the Gen Zs who are now coming into leadership roles are like a breath of fresh air. And hopefully they will correct the planet that my generation seems to have messed up completely. But as a coach, what are the areas, in your opinion, millennials and Gen Z leaders need to be coached in?
So it's really, I love that you brought this question up as well. Great one. You know, one of the things that's happened in the past year, year and a half is I've been hired by several millennials. And, you know, it's a certain type of millennial that has, you know, been engaging me. And it's been several that, you know, they are, you know, usually very well educated. They're in a good job. They want to keep growing. And it's been something that's a connection there. You know, as one of them said, you have a very young energy, Brian, you know, and I do. And I find what's beautiful about, you know, the generations that are coming after is they want to make impact personally and professionally.
Correct.
But they want to do it in a very aligned way. They want their gifts to be aligned with purpose. They want wellness as part of their life, a well-balanced, there's a sense of desired harmony, you know, of how they live. And what I think is so beautiful is that that generation is the ones that are going to help the evolution that's taking place now to get to the next level as well. And I really feel they're bringing a deeper sense of humanizing the society in a deeper way. And what the world has said is most important, they are recategorizing to what is critical. And so they are beautiful lights in the world. I know some people get agitated. Oh, that, you know, you always hear generation gap and they say this and that. Yeah, that's just life, but they are the light of what's coming. And I think it's so beautiful. And I love to be part of that, to help them move in that next.
Absolutely right. And my last question to you, Brian, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey, you know, in the US, in Canada, you've traveled all over the world, you've lived through so many different types of careers. What would you say are three lessons or three learnings you want our viewers and listeners to take away from your own journey and from our conversation?
So I think, first of all, I think the first lesson is to realize you are here for a reason. And there is a reason why you are here. There's a reason why you're in the relationships you're in. There's a reason why you have the gifts you have. And that is something that, no matter what is happening, whether there's grief, whether there's challenge, whatever it is, there is a reason why you are here in this moment in time. And if you're in a moment of not sure what to do next, just to be curious about what is the desire. The second point is, what is that desire? Because sometimes when we feel blocked or we're not sure, asking that simple question, what do I desire, can help move the fog of confusion to help us know that.
Yeah.
And number three, the critical importance of being connected with individuals who are of like mind, body, and soul. I cannot stress that enough, that yes, in our work, we may work with very different people, different than who we are, but it's important that we have a community outside of family, which is so important, but also individuals, and maybe a small group, and maybe a large group, depending on the person, that can nourish and support you to know you're never alone. And it's very easy if someone's like, I don't know where that is, to simply ask. Make it as a intention, make it as a request, as a prayer, whatever it is. And they will be brought, you will be guided, because that is what will sustain you.
Amazing. And on that note, Brian, and your three amazing pieces of advice, lessons, learnings, realize we are here for a reason. And I think, therefore, make sure that you to really appreciate everything that you have and what you are giving back. Second one, which is such a powerful set of words that I think you realized when you were, you know, toasting your bagel. What do I desire? And I think, you know, the more one thinks about it, I think a lot of answers will come. And the third one was connect with individuals at a body, mind, and soul kind of level. Thank Absolutely. You, Brian, for speaking to me about your own amazing journey, about evolution. Thank you also for talking to me about coaching, your own philosophies, your beliefs. And thank you for telling me about your amazing story of all your learnings and your inspiration from your father. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck.
Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who's listening, and welcome to connect with anyone as well who's listening. It would be a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.